Hello, it's Friday. You're listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue, Techno Teacher on Twitter, T-E-K-N-O Teacher. I'm a teacher of computing at Our Lady's Catholic High School in Preston, and I record this podcast each week to give people ideas and insights into teaching computing at school. So this week I've been at, among other places, I've been at Kelvin Hall School in Hull, where we ran a Hack to the Future event. And I'm actually partway through the day at the moment. So just give you a little bit of an insight into what's happened so far. And hopefully I'll record some interviews with some of the children as the day goes on. So it's now break time. It's 11 o'clock. And what we actually started this morning was we've got 60 children. They're girls from year 7 and year 8. It's a mix. And the school that we're at the moment, ICT, is not... they don't get a lot of lessons of ICT in a week. It's delivered like on a carousel where the teacher who teaches ICT gets some of the children for part of the year to teach some ICT, although I understand that there's plans in place to change this in the future. So the first session, we got all the girls together in one big group of 60, and it was the big focus there was on cyberbullying under the umbrella of e-safety. So I had a video that I wanted to show them, which is one that's available online, and I've shared the lesson plan that I used online. But the way that I approach it was, rather than show, it's like a 6-minute video, rather than show them the video, I actually relayed the story to them one stage at a time. And the point of this was to give them opportunities to forecast or predict what might happen. So it starts off with, there's a scenario where there's a boy in a maths lesson, and it seems like nobody in the maths lesson has got an idea about what the answer to the question is, but this one boy gets it. But as a result of that, lots of nasty things happen to them then over the next sort of 2 or 3 days, ranging from hate messages and emails and all sorts of other examples of cyberbullying. So I asked the girls to imagine that they were actually in the classroom while this story was unfolding one stage at a time. And then there's some questions and prompts for them to discuss, like, what's going on? How does Joe feel? How would you feel if you were in the class? And that's how it developed. Towards the end of that session, we then actually watched the video, and the video starts off quite gloomy, really, because it sort of seems to suggest that maybe it was too much for Joe and that he attempted suicide. But when you actually watch the video at the end, then you realize, no, there was actually quite a much more satisfactory outcome than that. So then after the first hour, we split the group of 60 into two halves, and in one room, let's call them Group B, we've been using the Mozilla Hackasaurus tools to explore changing web pages and what web pages look like when you look at the source code and how you can change them, and but also looking from the angle in terms of e-safety. If they can change web pages, then surely anybody else can. And some people might do this for profit. Some people might do this for all sorts of malevolent reasons. And, you know, getting them to sort of, it's helped developing their awareness of that. Okay?
Yeah.
I've just done the first bit of the podcast. Oh. So, can I tell, can you tell me your first names?
Juicy. Kira.
Juicy.
Okay, so what have you been doing for the last sort of half hour or so?
Writing about our true love.
Your true love.
Yeah, Jimmy Finn.
It looks like you've got some sort of story going on here.
Yeah.
Except there's something that really happened.
Some choices in it.
It's about Jimmy Finn, this little balloon that when we went for a celebration for her birthday, for Joyce's birthday, and it's just got loads of choices in it for what happens.
Okay.
It's a real story that happened.
Yeah, because it happened to us, Frieden.
Yeah.
Our friends.
And have you started building it on the computer yet?
Yes.
Ah. Have you tested it to see what it looks like? Does it work? Do you know?
Yes. Well, okay. We've been doing this and writing all the information down what happened and then questions and stuff.
So this is the last session that you're taking part in today. Can you remember what other things you were doing this morning? What else?
We were like hacking the BBC website, but we were like changing all like the pictures and on it and stuff.
I thought like hacking was against the law, was it?
Well, no, because we made it like it's a good thing.
We was putting like some things down, but it wasn't like real. It was just like what we decided to do.
But if I go on the BBC website now, will it be different because of something that you did?
Because we didn't like actually save it.
Okay.
So it's just something for us to see.
Right. Did you get to use the Raspberry Pi computers as well?
Yeah.
Well, was that a bit odd?
It was cool. I like to play Minecraft.
Oh, right. You like Minecraft.
I built a house.
Okay. Have you seen a Raspberry Pi before or used one?
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, okay. So, do you know what is the most enjoyable thing you've done today?
The Minecraft one and this one.
The story planning. What would you normally be doing on a Wednesday?
Science.
Has today been different from what you would normally do at school?
Yeah.
Better. Why is it better?
It's just a bit different.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the day. So now I've come over to a team of four people. Who's in this team?
Emily,
Helena,
Katie,
Antonia.
Okay. Now, can I ask, what have you been doing today? What have you taken part in?
Learning how to hack Google.
You learned how to hack Google?
Yeah.
Is that not against the law?
Like Google. No, it's like, you've got tortoise, so it can't be against the law.
No, okay. But is that not a bit worrying if people can hack web pages?
Oh, yeah. It's so easy.
To do it? So, but what kind of damage could people do then if they can hack web pages?
Any sort of damage.
Yeah? Could they like steal money from you?
Yes.
Could they pretend to be somebody else?
Yes.
Could they make stuff up?
Yes.
Yeah? Isn't that not a bit worrying that we live in that kind of world?
Yes.
A little bit.
You've just got to know how to make sure that you make sure if it's a hacked website or not.
Ah, how can you check?
Some of the websites have like a little padlock
yeah.
To check so you know it's a safe website. When you go on it, it can sometimes have like a different.
This site was made like, by.
Yeah,
right.
And it's sort of like you went on BBC. Instead of it being the BBC, it'd be whatever the headline was.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so good advice. And then there's another thing somebody said earlier, if something looks too good to be true, then it probably isn't true, you know?
Yeah.
Did you get to use the Raspberry Pis earlier as well? Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you get to do with the Raspberry Pi?
We got to, like, put more together and go like mine.
Did yours work straight away? Yeah? Did anybody have problems getting theirs to work?
Yeah, we had.
And how did you fix them?
We had to keep trying different combinations of
different SD.
Do you think would it be more fun and enjoyable if it just worked the first time?
Yeah, because then we might have had a bit longer.
Oh, okay.
No, really, it's not as challenging.
Okay, so you liked the challenge.
Yeah. But yes and no then.
Okay, so it's a mixture.
Like Antonia said, if we hadn't have had the challenge, what was the point in doing it as a challenge? And if we had it all set up for us, that would mean we'd have longer time to do what we're trying to achieve.
Okay.
But then you wouldn't know how to set it up if you got something in the future like that.
Ah, okay. Good. So it's like learning. Now, go on.
Either way, I got ages on the game anyway, so...
Right.
We got literally 2 minutes.
Ah, yeah. Well, so it would have been better, maybe, if the whole day had been for Raspberry Pi, but then... Well, some people thought, no, I don't really like...
More than an hour.
Yeah, more than an hour, yeah. Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have been able to do some of the other things like
that. That's right, yes, yeah. So it's tough, it's like trying to fit everything in. That today, in this room, there's 60 girls, but when you have your lessons, there's boys in your lesson as well. Do you think today would have been different if there'd been boys doing this as well?
Yeah, the boys would have made a lot
more
noise.
Yeah.
And it'd be a bit more disturbing because it wouldn't just be. It probably would have a lot more atmosphere in the room.
Right.
We'd say us girls are more sensible than the boys because the boys would randomly shout a lot of things randomly out. They're just so random.
But I've heard some boys say, "Why are girls getting to use Raspberry Pi? You're like, it's like a, it's like." Computers are computers just meant for men and boys to use? No?
I think it's why it's only girls today is because girls aren't tend to be as keen on like STEM projects as much as boys are. Like girls don't know maybe may not know as much about computers as boys do. So I think that's why.
Computers actually.
Yeah.
You do, yeah. Somebody was telling me earlier that they're. Somebody got a Raspberry Pi. Was that when you say you already had a Raspberry Pi? No,
no.
No. So, if there was one more thing from today, if you let's say tomorrow you could do whatever you wanted from today, what which one would you choose?
I'd probably write this story. I might enjoy writing this.
Well, you still can do because yeah. All this is free and you can use it online.
I'd probably just start picking it and putting load on a spot, step down on for 5 stamina.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much and enjoy the rest.
I want to do that tonight, do sync for Father's Day for my dad.
Okay, hack the web page and make it into a Father's Day card.
Yeah, BBC News.
Brilliant. Thank you. So this is actually still the same day, but I'm now not in Hull anymore. I'm over in Halifax.
Yeah, Halifax.
The Calderdale region.
Yep, the Calderdale area, yeah.
And tell me who you are.
I'm Pete Bell, and I've helped to organise the CAS Calderdale Hub event. For today. It's our first one, so it's the inaugural event for CAS Calderdale, and with Rebecca Holton from Calderdale Council and a few of her colleagues, we've set up this meeting, and we've had 50 people come today, which has been excellent.
Now, I should say, we've met before. In fact, we met in Professor Steve Ferber's office about 3 years ago or something. Yeah. It was before all these changes were proposed to change the curriculum and that. And now, 3 years later, here you are, and you've had this Computing at School Hub meeting tonight. And I think of all the meetings I've been to, it's one of the largest. It was 50 teachers. How on earth did you get 50 teachers to come here tonight?
I think Twitter helped. we put out a lot of tweets about the event. We set up a Twitter feed, Twitter handle for the meeting.
Word of mouth as well, I guess.
Well, that's it.
On Twitter.
No, I think the Rebecca, one of the organisers, also got in touch with a lot of the schools and primary schools and asked them to come. But I think a big draw for the event was having yourself certainly and coming to talk about how to use resources in. we're talking about the use of resources and how you could just engage children with computing. And I think originally we were thinking about you talking about GCSE, but there were so many primary school people in here that it wouldn't perhaps go down as well as it would have done otherwise. But
well, the first thing I was going to do, I thought I better find out who the audience are.
Yeah, that's right.
But then Bob Harrison in his talk said, "Who's primary? Who's Key Stage 1? Who's Key Stage 2?" And I think there was only about, I said, it was 50 people in the room, and I counted about 10, put their hand up at secondary, and I thought even less of those are probably teaching GCSE computing. So I just quickly...
No, that's fine.
What I try to do, in my teaching, is I try to think, well, hang on, they're not going to get this, so I need to change it. So are you actually teaching computing yourself at the moment?
I'm teaching, I teach computing in at Rishworth School, which is sort of one of the far ends of the Calderdale odd-shaped kind of polygon.
Isn't Rishworth, is that near Burnley? Is it
Rishworth? Sort of just off. It's between Halifax and the M62, basically.
Right. Okay,
but it's just off Junction 21 or something like that.
And you teach 11 to 16 years old? Is that?
Yeah, teach all so 11 to 18 actually, and actually beyond because we're a boarding school, so we have students, foreign students coming over and boarding, and some of them are even 20 years old. So.
And have you introduced GCSE computing yet into your
school? We're starting it in September. Yeah. So we're starting it in September.
Are you worried? Are you excited? Or?
Both. Yeah. I've been to a couple of CPD sessions myself. So I went along to the OCR, getting ready to teach kind of events that they do, just to get an idea of exactly what their thoughts were on how to best deliver the curriculum. And looks good. I mean, it looks like a fantastic curriculum to.
And do you know yet, like, what sort of bunch of children you've got? Is it a mixed school?
Well, it's interesting. We've got boys and girls, and we've got a good mixture. I was really keen to promote the event to both boys and girls, and probably more so to girls. You know, I'm really keen on getting more girls involved in computing, and we've got a really good take up actually. So we're lucky because we've been given two strands, so we can run ICT GCSE, and we can run the computing GCSE as well. Okay. So and it's kind of worked out that. For some reason, it's worked out that a lot of the more able kids, if I can put it that way, are taking the computing GCSE, which is I don't know whether that sort of just reflects their opinion of, yeah, of computing, but I do think it's something which is accessible to anyone.
From experience, I think, especially in the first year, you're going to find that, yeah, makes a massive difference. Because when I started in September 2011, the group I had, it was a smaller group, it was 14, they were all boys, which I was a bit disappointed with. I was hoping to attract some girls. But they were, the target grades were sort of C up to A star. And I did find that it was very helpful, because this year, let's see, in September 2012, the year 10s I got then, 26 children from G right up to A star. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges I've had in my teaching career, which is to have such a broad range of ability. And it's how to match everything. So you're at the same it's like the spinning plates, except some plates are bigger, some were more wobbly, some you don't have a pole. And it's just run me ragged having such a varied group. And I would really say to people, if possible, not to have such a large and mixed group. Have a mixed group, have a large group, but not to go for the two. And thankfully, this year we've got 40 children have opted, which means we can justify running two groups. And we've never had sets before at Key Stage 4 in ICT, but we're going to try sets this time.
Right.
We're hoping to have a large, more able group and a smaller, less able group. And it means we also, because they're on at the same time, we can move children up and down should the need arise.
So did you do a lot of, I'm interviewing you now.
Did you
do a lot of work in Key Stage 3? Because we did a lot of work in Key Stage 3 over the last couple of years. We've been introducing more and more computational sort of thinking style stuff.
I think when I met you back in, I think it was 2010,
it was just
11.
Before the Royal Society report.
So that was that came out in February 2012. Mm-hmm. And we met, it was the summer holidays, I think, July 2011. And at that point, we'd been teaching Scratch years. Well, we have year fives and year sixes that come in and do things with us as well. So we'd introduce Scratch from year five, year six, year seven, year eight, and year nines. And everybody was doing it, but just at different levels. And I think September 11 was when I first decided, well, I knew I was going to have to do a text-based programming, and I started with, well, I tried Java.
Right.
Thought, I can't do this. Lots of developer friends were saying, no, PHP or JavaScript, and they made just no sense to me whatsoever.
Right.
But when I was 11 or 12, I had a BBC Micro, I had a Sinclair Spectrum, and when I found Python, I thought, oh, this is just like basic. So so I actually, that was just like putting on old slippers. So I found that quite useful. And we introduced it with year seven, then to year eight, and so on. And I think one of the mistakes we did make was, I thought, oh, options, I want to get as many children as possible doing this. So we bombard the year nines, but it was too late because those year nines already knew, I don't like computing. Or even though they didn't know what it was, they'd already decided, it's not for me. But then they were saying, what is it? I don't like it. What is it? You know?
Whereas, my year nines are saying, my year nines are saying now, and some of my year tens actually, and 11s are saying, why can't we do this? Why can't we do this thing now that you're doing? Because we've got these, we were very lucky that we got a grant from the BCS and I bought a bunch of sense boards from the Open University, Arduino-based boards with plug-in analog sensors, essentially. So you've got temperature sensors and motion. So one of the things I was going to show tonight, but I didn't get around to it, was something which I'm going to do on Monday night when we have our computing day. We're going to get a bunch of local primary school kids. We're going to create a Mission Impossible-style vault room. So they have to come in and they have to sneak around really quietly, and they have to not move anything, and they've got to keep the temperature low, so they've got to keep their movements low.
You must hardly ever sleep, because tonight there were so many things you were talking about. You've just recently done an MSc, is that master's?
I graduated a couple of years ago from that. Yeah,
right.
From Huddersfield, so I've done that. I've got a son who's 5 months old. So,
oh no!
So there is that as well involved as well. That's a fairly major thing that's lacking, that's making me lack sleep. Although he's just started sleeping through, bless him. So that's good.
So. Just going back to tonight's meeting, 50 teachers here.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah, first meeting, that's a fantastic response.
Well, it shows the need for it as well.
Yes.
I think in this area, because I've attended the Kirklees Hub before, and it was a smaller meeting. It was focused on what Kirklees wanted to do to progress taking out the kind of, I don't know, sort of sharing the gospel or spreading the word or whatever you want to call it, around the area. And my thoughts for tonight was let's invite some people in who I know from their Twitter feeds, people like James Langley and Bob Harrison and Miles Berry, people who are engaging speakers, people who want to, who can get up and dance and show people stuff. Let's kickstart this off. And obviously, Rebecca's done a fantastic job marketing it. But what I want this meeting to become is, you know, I want the same amount of people here next time. And I want to show more resources. I want to show more techniques, just so people can gain confidence. But I think in this area, this is obviously the first one. There's never been a meeting like this before, and there's a lot of primary schools in this region. And I think we had quite a decent turnout for primary, about 20 teachers here from primary. And it just shows the need that people want to come along, listen to what's needed, and the stuff we had tonight about assessment and being able to, you know, tracking. Activities that you could do, fun activities that you could do that teach the underpinning knowledge and understanding that go behind computing. Amazing.
I wasn't born in England. I was born in Ireland, and I grew up largely in Ireland, and then came over to England. And I don't know if this is just if I have different perception, but it seems to me that English people are very, very shy about being confident about things. Mm. And one of the things I've tried to do at the Preston Computing at School meeting is there's Pete. Oh, Pete's doing this. Hey, Pete, would you mind talking at the next meeting? Mm. But Pete would shy away and go, yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, Alan, I've only done it once or twice. Yeah. It's really hard to, because you want to try and boost people's confidence and say to them, this is easy. But, and while we've got these great sort of heroes like Miles and I saw Zoe Ross's name mentioned,
yeah.
It's great to have these people, but I think it's almost more as important to highlight who are the people locally, because it's this kind of I know him or her and she teaches school, like I can do, whereas and it's how do you encourage that?
We had Jonathan. I think Jonathan from Greetland School District. He's a local primary coordinator, and he came and talked about what he was doing and thoughts he had for schemes of work development and things like that. So, you know, people feed off him and people will take some of his ideas away. And what I was saying to some people leaving tonight was, at the next meeting, come and share something that you've done. You know, take something away. Go and find a resource. I think what you said earlier was fantastic. You know, pick one thing and stick with it.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to pick Python or something like that, then teach those computational concepts through Python.
But stick with it.
Which some people might take away and do that, and then maybe they can come in and say, "This is what I did, and this is how I adapted this resource that I found online, or this is a resource I found online, and here it is, and let me show you about it." I just want to make this a more of a interactive thing, and one thing I would like to make sure happens next time is that it's a bit more interactive with people being able to ask questions or just say, "I want to show you something now," you know, and maybe. But with 50 people here, you need a little bit of structure.
And also, you'll get to know it's the same as happened with the Preston one now. We start to know who are the primary school teachers, who are the ones that come from Blackpool, who are the ones that have travelled up from Wigan. Mm. You start to know, and they look out for each other as well. Oh, the Wigan corner, this is the Blackpool corner, at the Preston meeting. Have you got another 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, of course.
So, change tack now. A tweet came through before that I got. So somebody I've never met before said, got an interview on Tuesday. How do you teach history of computing? And I just wonder, can we talk a couple of minutes about, I had an idea and I thought maybe if I may share the idea with you, maybe we can bounce it around. So
yeah,
I thought, gosh, history of computing, it could potentially be a very dry topic. And then I thought, how can you make it fun and engaging? And I remembered one thing I did once on a teaching interview, which was, it's like this game, 3 truths, 1 lie.
Okay.
So you're basically presenting children with 4 facts, but one of them is totally made up and untrue, and the children have to figure out which one is the other. So I said, and I'm a bit wary about giving people out-and-out advice. You know what you want to do? You want to do it this way.
Mm.
Because if you're too dictatorial, there's the chance that people are going to go, reject it. So anyway, I ended up being dictatorial and said, you know, what about starting with something like Turing? And here's 4 facts about Turing. Yep. So, for example, one, Alan Turing ended the Second World War a year early. Number two, Alan Turing made millions by inventing the first computer ever. Fact number three, Alan Turing was gay and was sent to prison for being gay. And fact number four, Alan Turing died by eating a poisoned apple.
Yep.
And I thought, well, if you dress those up enough, you could actually, in a way, make all four of them seem true or completely unbelievable at the same time. Have you any thoughts about something like that?
I don't know. I think it's a great idea. I mean, history of computing, you could go back to, is it Ada Lovelace? And you can go back to the first computer program ever written in the mid-1800s.
That's right, yeah.
It's like 1864 or something.
But I was at one of the computing at school conferences I went to. There was a gentleman there, I can't remember his name, but he talked basically about how Atlas developed the first computer.
Right.
The Greek.
Yeah, right.
I don't know a lot about...
It's the thing, you want to teach the history of computing without almost talking about computers, you know, like PCs, you know, or tablets. Yeah. So you want to talk about it as in terms of computation or what was computation. You could talk about Florence Nightingale and how she you know, collated data together and produced graphs from that data. You could talk about that, couldn't you, to help solve, to stop people dying in the First World War. We could talk about the... what's that pump called? Is it the cholera pump?
Oh, no, I don't know this one.
In the middle of London, somebody else did some data analysis and worked out that cholera was spread in London through people drinking from this one pump.
Yes.
What was the guy's name? I forgot what it's called.
Mention something else, I bet it'll come back to you.
Maybe.
Because one of the things I was thinking about this particular, the approach I was going down, which was the three truths and one lie. I'm kind of imagining this teacher, who I've never met, job interview on Tuesday, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, because you don't usually teach a full lesson, like an hour on an interview, do you?
No, 20 minutes.
And one of the things I was thinking about that is, one, you can quickly establish what they already know about Alan Turing, because if he presents the facts, if they're going like, who was Alan Turing? So that gives him some opportunity to figure out what do they already know. The second one is the fact that, it's gay. Was he really gay? Are we allowed to talk about those kind of things? So there's that kind of little area of intrigue. Did he really eat a poisoned apple? No, seriously. But that's actually true, you know. And then the other thing was, I thought if at the beginning of this lesson, they say, right, bit of paper, write down the number that you think is the lie. So they all write down that one. I would expect you're going to get mixed. Oh, number one. Yeah, of course, he invented the first computer, so he would have made millions of pounds, but actually that's the one that's the lie. Mm. And then if you can then, by the end of the lesson, get to do an assessment again, then you can very clearly demonstrate progress, even only in 15 minutes.
Absolutely, right. That's perfect.
The stacking chairs and cups and stuff.
That's right.
Pete, if people want to know more about you, how can they follow you? What have you got a blog?
Basically Twitter is the place to go, I think, really, for most things. So
and you're at Pete J Bell?
Yeah, Pete J Bell, and I'm petejbell.blogspot.com, I think.
And you mentioned
but I haven't written anything for a while.
You said you're going to be doing a CPD session.
Yeah, I'm doing a CPD session in a couple of weeks. Tickets are on Eventbrite. They're about £40 for 2 hours, and I'm doing it on. It's called Algorithms Unplugged. So it's thinking about how to teach computing really without using the computer.
And is this like 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock or something?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's something like that.
Yeah,
I can't remember the time.
And it's in North Yorkshire.
It's in Rishworth. It's at the school I work at, Rishworth School. So we're going to have the auditorium. So there are no computers. And we're going to be doing loads of activities.
People were in Leeds, Huddersfield, they're kind
Manchester,
of commutable distances. Yeah.
Glasgow,
yeah,
wherever. Yeah. I mean, for this event, we've had people coming from, you know, 40, 50 miles away. So, and I know
further. I've travelled further.
Sure, of course, yeah. But we have people coming from all over, and I know that as a cast, because I'm a cast master teacher like yourself, and I know that people who run these events get them coming
from
Isle of Wight and all over.
Now, I had some people fly in from Dubai to and Abu Dhabi to one of the events I was doing, but that's not typical. That's just like me name dropping sort of thing. And this event that you're talking about, this will be listed on the Computing at School community events page.
And it's on through Eventbrite, so people can search it on Eventbrite.
Right, Pete, it's been amazing being here tonight, and I really wish you every success with Computing at School hub meetings.
I'll get you on the record saying you're going to come back and do a Raspberry Jam for us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cheers.